Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Show. I'm Noah Evans, and on this show, I'm going to creatively break down real estate deals with top investors across the country to help you become closer to achieving financial freedom. Alrighty, let's get to it.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Show. Today, I've got a super special guest. I was recently on his podcast, and this guy is absolutely killing it, not only in the real estate world, in the Chasing Freedom world, in the podcast game world, everything. This man's going to teach you everything about achieving financial freedom on a fast track, just like how he's done it. And so you guys will be able to pick up some gold nuggets from Brian Lubin here. And Brian, welcome to the show, brother. Super pumped to have you.
What's up, everyone? Happy to be on. Happy to hopefully be able to get you where you want to go, living your best life as quickly as possible. Or we could just wing it and maybe wait till we're 65 either way.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's financial freedom isn't for everybody, right? Like there's certain people that are just lucky. They're just born into it.
Yeah. Must be nice.
Yeah, I know, man. I wish I could be one of those lucky guys. So dude, what I love so much about your story, and I think why we just became like instant best friends after one 30-second phone call, is because our paths were so similar, right? Like mm-hmm. You and I literally started with nothing. And we achieved financial freedom before the end of our 20s. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do this through some very similar pathways. So I want to talk to you, like, at what point did you decide enough was enough and you were going to go out there and do these big, scary things? And what did that look like? What was the first step?
Yeah, for sure. So first off, My story in a nutshell, like at a 30,000 foot view for people listening, to kind of, so you'll understand like the context when we color between the lines here. Corporate America, right outside of college, went to a Fortune 500 sales organization, B2B sales, made it to the top of the organization, top 1% in 2 years. And so I was number 8 out of 5,079 in the country. And so I was making good mid 6 figures, killing it in my mid 20s. And was on top of the world, got everything I ever wanted, won the awards, realized that none of it mattered and that I was just a disposable cog of the machine, because that's what happens in sales. Then I looked at my balance sheet. I started listening to podcasts and they were talking about net worth, financial freedom, all this stuff. I looked at my balance sheet, which I didn't know what a balance sheet was at the time. And I created one. I said, oh, cool. I am worthless. I have no assets. I spend, you know, if I'd make an extra $20,000 in commission, I would go to Miami. You know, that's what I thought you did. And you had a really nice apartment, really nice car, all that stuff. So I realized I was worthless and I set out to change that. Got paired up with some guys in a mastermind group called GoBundance, which we'll talk about. And they took me under their wing, mentored me. And now fast forward about 3 years down the pipe, I am out of corporate America. And now I am 6 days away from hopping on a one-way flight to Greece, where I'm going to live for a month and then travel around the world for a year. So that is me right now. So back to the original question. What was it?
The original question was, at what point did you decide there needed to be a transition? At when did you realize, like, hey, I'm going to be intentional about achieving this financial freedom thing and on my terms, not at 65, when society tells me I should be retired?
Yeah, got it. So two different answers to that same question. So the first answer financially was when I won the award for my company, and that was my identity, right? My entire identity was wrapped up into being this top performance sales rep, getting the awards, getting the trophies, all that stuff. As soon as I finally did that, and I reached the pinnacle, reached the mountaintop, diamond level, I could not go further than that. Like, I was the top of the top. And then the next day I got an email from my VP and he was like, hey man, by the way, your team is underperforming. You're murdering it. Great job. Congrats on diamond. Your team's underperforming. I need you to make some changes and boost the morale up or take a little bit extra for Q1, or I'm going to have to come make some changes. And I was like, it hasn't even been 24 hours. And so you make it to this mountaintop that you are climbing in corporate America. You make it to the mountaintop and you realize it's just a freaking anthill and none of it really mattered at all. They're just trying to, you know, keep you going on the hamster wheel, get you a bigger house, a nicer car, more debt so that they can keep feeding you. And then you become a slave to them. Yeah. So that's the financial answer. The philosophical answer, I was in Italy. I was in Rome and I was at the Vatican. I went to go see the Sistine Chapel. And in the back of the Sistine Chapel, there's this staircase. It's this really narrow, winding staircase that goes up to the top of St. Peter's Basilica. And then you can look out, you can climb up and look out over the Vatican and all of Rome. It's the best view in Rome. And it's such a narrow staircase that there are little outcroppings as you climb it for people to go and rest and or turn around, because it was took about 25 minutes for us to climb. And as I was climbing, I realized that everyone that was either not physically fit or older just simply could not make the climb to the top. And then when I got to the top, I said, I can't be that person. And I respect them, because I do respect them. I'm not, you know, poo-pooing on people that are doing that. It's like they did the dream. Like they got to 65, they got to 70 years old. They worked their tails off their entire life, and they finally got to a point where they could retire and go see the Sistine Chapel and see the top, but now they don't have their energy or their health or the physical ability to do it. So I said, I'm going to dedicate my most energy-rich years to doing what I want, when I want, with who I want, and enjoying the ride through all of this, instead of waiting until I'm 65 and then having maybe 13 years that aren't even guaranteed of arthritis, diabetes, and heart disease to enjoy my life. There you go. That's why I did it. Can't hear you.
So for you, it was like a visual thing. You're sitting there, you're walking up the staircase, and you're looking at all these people, and you're like, that's the pathway that's been laid out for us by society, and I don't fit that mold. I can do better. I can be better. And yeah, absolutely, you're not knocking them. You're just saying that for you, you're going to decide something different. And I think that that's something I hope the listeners take away, is there's a power in just deciding that enough is enough. And that going forward from that exact point in time, you, Brian, said, I'm not living the same way anymore. I'm not on the same trajectory. But that's a choice. It's not a series of random events. You didn't wait around for something to come and happen. So many people are waiting for something to, some event to come and change their life, or person, or somebody to step in and hand this opportunity on a silver platter. It doesn't work like that. Maybe 1% of the population gets something handed to them, or they step into something by accident. But for everybody else, for normal guys like me and you, it's intentionality.
Yeah. And there's a statistic that people that win the lottery, I think it's like 90%, will just lose it again. So even people that, you know, go hit a penny slot machine in Vegas and they win, you know, $500,000, or they win the lottery, they don't have the systems or beliefs or processes or community around them that will help support it. So it's like give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he eats for life.
Absolutely, bro. And I think what else that ties into is, as well, is like the journey to become a millionaire or billionaire or whatever. I mean, I can't speak for a billionaire, but the journey to become financially free is really about the journey and not the end destination. Mm-mm. It's who you become, not how much money you make. Like, who I am today is so much more competent in finances and running businesses and leading people than who I was 4 years ago. And so, like, even my risk tolerance is higher, and I'm sure you feel the same way. Like, I'm more willing to take risk in this uncertain time of the market because I believe in my skill set and my abilities that I've acquired over the last 5 years of struggling and failing. So exactly. Same thing for you, right? Like, you feel comfortable being able to go do all these things you want to go do and travel and take a step away from your business because you've now built the skill set that's now repeatable for you, and you can just keep stacking that income in that way because now you know how to do it.
Exactly. And there's a whole framework behind it too. I do like a 4-step framework that kind of helped me be able to simplify that entire process, if you want to get into that.
I'd love to. Let's jump in. What is this 4-step framework you're talking about?
Yeah, so that's my bread and butter, because everyone needs some kind of original idea or concept. And Bigger Pockets and, you know, Brandon and that whole podcast got everyone to make financial independence sexy, like financial freedom. But then the story ended prematurely, right? And I feel like it's our job to pick up the back end of the story. So chapter one, work until 65, bad. Chapter two, real estate, cash flow, index funds, passive income, all this stuff, financial freedom. Chapter three, you do the work, you do the actions, you hit financial freedom. Chapter four, what does that even mean? Like, what now? So say you're 27, you don't have to do anything. What now? And here's the kicker. Like, people, the goal is not to not work. This is where we need to pick up the next chapter of the book. The goal is not to not work. If you are the type of person that has the economic prowess and the investment acumen to be able to make it to the point where you can retire, you're not the type of person that wants to, if that makes sense. So here's the framework that I've got. And I feel like this applies if you're starting your wealth building journey or if you're worth $100 million. And I've said it to a bunch of people, and then I've gotten good feedback from all parties. So step one, vision. So you need a vivid vision, and that's the book I'd recommend by Cam Herold. You need a vivid vision of what your dream life would look like if money wasn't an object. If I were to ask you, what does your life look like if you had $100 million right now, what would it look like? If you can't answer that question, you are not yet ready to go on this journey. First step, get your vision. Second step, financial foundation. This does not need to be as massive and sexy as people make it seem to be. Everyone's default number here is $10,000 a month. That's what every single person says, no matter what. Always. I talk to people about this all the time. You don't even necessarily need that much. So, like, I don't even have that much fixed coming in. Like, I don't have $10,000 in cash flow. What I do have is enough cash flow to cover my fixed expenses. And that's the key. That's what we want to do. We want to eliminate our housing payment, our car payment, all of the revolving and recurring debt that we have that comes in, cover that, get enough passive income to cover that. Yep. And now you're still left with your variable expenses. After that, and you have a strong foundation of finance, of real estate, finances, index funds, whatever, then you go on to your frame, which is your relationships. Now you build a community around it. And now you build a community of peers that are on the same journey as you for financial freedom, and then mentors that have already hit it. So that not only do you have people to partner with and rally with, but you have people that can show you what to do and what not to do. And then the final step is to take those people, and now you build businesses and partnerships on top of them and on top of your financial foundation to now cover your variable income. And you can do what you want, when you want, with who you want, and it's optional. And that's what the point of all of this is work optionality. Who do you want to work with, where, and when? So that's what I do now.
I freaking love that, man. And there's a part of that I want to elaborate a little bit more on, because it's a topic I actually haven't heard a lot of people talk about, which is, you mentioned, I think it was step three, building the community of the people around you, both above you and below you. So mentors above you, and then rallying the people that are either below you or at your level to rise to the next level, right? To rise to the next level of financial freedom and business acumen and execution. Yeah. So can you elaborate some more on that? Like, what does that look like to actually do that?
Yeah. So to climb Mount Everest, you need two different people. You need the Sherpa, that is the Nepalese that have been to the top of the mountain, and they've made that climb 30, 40, 50 times, and they can show you the best path of least resistance. And they say, if you go this way, you're going to die. If you go this way, it's easy. You need that guide that's been in the mountaintop. So that's going to be your mentor. You also need the people that are strapped up with you, like tied together on the carabiner, that are climbing with you, so that when you say, hey guys, this is a little bit more difficult than I anticipated, I want to go back to base camp, they're like, no, you freaking wimp. Come on. Like, we're making this climb. So that's why the two people are equally as important. And I say 80% of your time and energy should be spent on relationships as opposed to just the spreadsheet. Because so for me, like, I have a financial foundation, I've got a net worth, I've got assets that are cash flowing and produce income for me and equity. But if I were to be completely without income, stranded in Thailand or something, I wouldn't call my house hacks to help. I'd call my friends and my mentors. I'd say, hey, I need to make something happen here. Let's build something, or let me hop on with you. And let's do something together here. And then, so that's what provides the ultimate level of security for people to leave, because that's the main argument that we're talking about, isn't people saying, oh, I think this is a good idea or a bad idea. It's just them saying, hey, I've got a really secure job. I've got kids. I've got a mortgage. I've got a car payment. I've got insurance with my company. I'm scared shitless to leave that, because what if I fail and I'm publicly ridiculed and my family can't eat anymore. So for me, relationships and the answer to that even more so than the finances.
Absolutely, man. I love that. And I think that that's such a huge aspect of your journey, my journey, and everyone else's journey that has either started on or is getting close to or has achieved financial freedom. It's you may not even realize it, but in some way or another, you have built a community around you in order to get there. You can't do it alone. You may do the work alone, but you need the other people that are inspiring you, leading you, and people that are following you. All of that is important, all three of those layers, to be able to get to some level of sustainability for financial freedom. I think that's huge. And I think too often we miss that. So that's why I wanted you to elaborate on that.
Yeah. And also your ego comes into play too, because if you're the only one in your friend group making $100,000, but like, you're not going to really be pushed to make more than that. But if you're making $100,000 and everybody that you know is making six, then you're like, oh, okay, what do I do to get up to the next level? And then raise it a level past that, to where now the guys that I'm around are making $100,000 passively a month. And so I'm like, oh, well, that's cute. I'm doing nothing, you know? So it's just a matter of perspective. And it's not beating yourself up about it. It's about being excited and challenged with all of this. You can't go and say, oh, woe is me, look at how low I am on the totem pole. Get excited that they're taking you under their wing to show you what the freaking possibilities are, because all life is just setting massive goals and pursuing them. Like, that's what success is. And goals look different as we go through different seasons of life, but like, that's the game. That's where happiness comes from, is the continue, like, progress. Like, happiness is progress. That's it.
Yeah. So I was on a boat in Lake Powell a couple of weeks back. Talked about it a few times now, but one of the interesting things that Jeff Mendez, the guy who owned the boat, had mentioned was, he goes, so many of people think that success is about money or financial freedom. I mean, it's finances, yes, is about just this crazy high dollar amount. But if it's only about money and you get to that end and you've achieved that money goal, you have nothing but money. It's actually about fulfillment.
Yeah.
And money solves some of those problems for fulfillment, but outside of that, it's actually it's the four pillars of humanity, right? So it's your spiritualness, it's your health, it's your wealth, and it's your relationships.
Yeah. And I would argue that money is a tool. Like, I don't even really necessarily value money that much, which ironically makes me more of it. I don't really care about money. Money is just energy. It's just an energy exchange. The real currency of life is relationships and time. Those are the most valuable things, because people say time is the most valuable. I'd actually argue that relationships are much more valuable, because at the end of the day, why do you even want your time? And that's to go spend it with people that you want to spend it with. So it's like, I look at like a Joe Rogan, or a lot of people create a podcast because they want to be like Rogan, and they're like, oh, dude's got $100 million deal from Spotify. He doesn't give a crap about that. Like, the reason he enjoys it is because he's made so many really cool friends and relationships. And that's why I started my show, The Action Academy, was because I wanted to be able to have relationships. And now I'm talking to 4 to 5 super interesting, financially independent entrepreneurs every single week, yourself included, that now I become friends with. And now I can text you. I barely know you, but I swear, if I was in Italy and I got robbed of everything and they said, hey, give me the deed to your houses in Atlanta, and I just, and everything burned in a meteor, and I was like, Noah, dude, you know I'm good for it. I need like $10,000 to be able to be good. You're probably like, yeah, sure, this guy's good for it.
Yeah, I would help you, bro.
And
I
mean, the
you
kicker
for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it's about. It's about relationships.
Yeah, it totally is, man. I love that perspective. I think that's interesting, right? It's like, what do we want our time for? Is it to sit on the couch and watch TV? Absolutely not. We want our time to do more of the things that we love. Being with people, getting outside. For me, it's being with my dogs. It's taking little vacations with my wife. Like, those are the things that I'm excited about. And dude, let's talk about this for a minute. You're leaving somewhere here pretty soon.
Yeah.
And you've got a one-way flight.
Yeah.
Break that down for me. Why one? Like, what is? I mean, I don't know if the listeners are fully comprehending what that means. You booked a one-way flight.
Yeah. So that's my big exciting life, right? So I could answer that question for you. If somebody were to ask me, like, what do you want? Like, what do you want in your life? Like, I've got it all. on my phone. Like, I've had my lock screen on my phone, my vision board, and I've got my vision boards all throughout my office. I've known what I wanted for three years, and I got it faster than I ever could have imagined. Every single thing on my vision board has come true. So what I do is I create super clear vision, and that included traveling around the world. And so originally my goal was to do this in 5 years through multifamily. So I was going to go and acquire as much multifamily apartments as I could. And then I realized, I was like, this is taking a long time. And I started doing coaching with Jason Dries originally. And so we started coaching on my mindset. And then we asked the question, how do I do this in 6 months instead of 5 years? And so my mission became, how do I generate enough income? For me, it was $25,000 a month. How do I generate enough income to be able to go and just quit my corporate job now and just travel now? And so I created the podcast that created revenue. And then a couple of mentors magically appeared out of nowhere, because that's how all of this works. And they were like, hey, you want to come, you know, work? I need an acquisitions guy. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. And then that printed out $5,000-$6,000 each. And so now, fast forward, I've got like four 1099s, sources of income, two of which are affiliates of the podcast that I have, Action Academy, going into January. And I hit my goal of over 25, so 25 a month outside of my W-2. So I did that January, February, and March, and then quit in March. And now April, May, June, I've been just self-employed for the first time in my life, self-sustaining. And yeah, so my thing is, I wanted to go travel the world. So that's what we're doing. So we're starting with Greece for a month. We're doing Mykonos, Santorini for, I think, 4 or 5 days each. I just wanted to get a taste of them. I didn't need to, like, I know that it's not like, just wanted to go do Mykonos right, like pay the money, do it right, get one of those cool hotel rooms with the float out pool, Instagram, all that bull crap. And then we're living on the island of Crete for 3 weeks, and then going to Athens for a week. And then after that, I don't know, I think maybe Barcelona, go around there. The plan is Europe 3 months, Southeast Asia 3 months. And then I've got a wedding December 28th in Singapore with one of my GoBundance guys. So I'm going to go meet him over there. And then after that, maybe go to Brazil, where my girlfriend's from. So that's the idea.
I love that, dude. I love that. How old are you?
27.
27, guys. So we're the same age. And look at the lifestyle you've been able to build. And it doesn't take as long as people think. I think there's an important metric there, though. I think a lot of times we undervalue what we can do in 90 days. I mean, we overvalue what we can do in 90 days and undervalue what we can do in 2 years. Can we take just a small 30-second, 1-minute clip here and go back? And can you break down your income sources for those that were listening that may not have been able to capture all of that? Can you walk us through what those are?
Yeah. So I'll break it down into fixed and variable, right? So fixed, I've got my house hack. So I've got 4 units. And so that provides me about $3,000 in cash flow for the 4 units, because I have rent by the room. And it was a house hack. So don't even get me started on the cash on cash return, because at this point, it's almost infinite. I can honestly refinance them and make it an infinite return if I wanted to. I am about to pull lines of credit on them, though. So I'm probably about to pull a couple $100,000 of equity out of each of those in a line of credit, just for firepower as we move into this next economic climate. So 3,000 coming in from there. When I move out of this part of my house hack that I'm currently in, I have this set to where July 5th, I've got a buddy moving in here. So that's going to be an extra $1,000 of cash flow, because I'm already netting on this house overall, because I've got the rest of the rooms rented out, just not the downstairs where I live. So that's going to be an extra $1,000. I've got my car I'm going to rent out on Turo. So that's going to be an extra $1,000. Call it 800, because I'm giving the guy that's running it 20% to just manage the car, drop it off, pick it up, all that good stuff. So then now you're looking at about 5,000 right there. My podcast is printing out about 10,000 right now per month. So that's anywhere between, I'd say 7 to 11. So probably around 9,000 each month through affiliates. So I've got.
Okay, it's affiliate links. So people are listening to the show, they go click on an X Studio link and buy something, a course, a mentor, a tool.
Yeah, but that'd be too easy. Like, I don't want people to think it's that easy. So I control my own process. So I'm a sales guy. So for me, I will have an affiliate relationship with whoever I use. Like, you can't partner with my show unless I pay for you already. So then that makes me feel like I don't have to sell anything because I already do it.
Yeah.
And so, and I do high ticket stuff. So GoBundance is $10,000 a year. Jason is $11,000 a year. I pay for both of them. So that's $21,000 a year that I pay for both of those each year. And so I have an option to book a call with me. So if anyone's interested in that, they go and they click the link and they get on my calendar. And then, so I'm not just going to be like, oh yeah, click a link, herp to derp to derp. Hope you pay $10,000 today. That's stupid. That'd be stupid.
Yeah.
So what I do is, I'd say 30% of my day, I'll have a couple of calls to GoBundance to Jason each day. And I'll just tell them my experience and walk them through. And then that's equally as cool because they're all accredited investors. And half the time they're a good guest for my podcast. Half the time they're just a cool connection to make. And I love doing it. It's so much fun. Even if they don't do it, I don't care. I've got a new friend.
Yeah.
And so I do that constantly. So I've got 5 to 10 that pop off for each of them per month. And then, so that's a good source of revenue. And then on top of that, I've just got like little, I call them rinky dink positions. I don't want to like, you know, kind of crap on, it's like 5-6 grand just to hop on with a mentor. I'm like, hey, I need a little bit of fixed, you know, revenue here. You don't really have to pay me. I just kind of want to learn what you're doing and see the acquisition side and see everything that you're doing. And so I've got a little bit of that. So on my bad months are going to be like 15, but my good months are going to be like 27 up to 30. So, and that's right now. That's without me monetizing Action Academy. Like, I have not released a paid course or coaching. All I have is the free book, which is W2toWorldTravel.com. Free 30-page guide that talks about everything I talked about. So that's it.
So cool, bro.
That's what I do. One
thing I want people to notice about you, and I think why you were able to achieve this financial success at 27, from my perspective, Brian, you seem to seek to add value first. That seems to be your primary concern is, how do I help? How do I add value? How do I make this person or this idea or this business better or more profitable in whatever way you see you can be fit to do so. And as a result, you get paid. And I think that ties back into what you're talking about, where money is energy, right? You're bringing the energy and it's just this flow. It's this natural flow back and forth between you're adding value to people in the marketplace. And there's an exchange that has to happen for that value. Mm-hmm. But it's not your primary concern. Your primary concern is the relationships, the people, getting to know all these different people. How can you help? How can you build them up? How can you build your community up? And as a result, look at what you've been able to accomplish in a short period of time.
And the irony of this, right, is like I even have one source of income that I won't name just because I'm not gonna be salty about it. Yeah, it's OnlyFans.
I knew it.
No, I've got a guy that was like, I don't want to pay you money anymore because I don't think that you're going to prioritize our relationship while you travel, which is complete BS, right? And I was pretty pissed about it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. So, you know, there's a part of me that wanted to be upset because what I don't want to do is like paint this as all sunshine and roses and daffodils, right? So like what happens when you get punched in the face right before you're about to get on a freaking flight and all of a sudden like $6,000 monthly is removed out of nowhere. Like things are going fantastic. It's a fantastic relationship. I thought it was a personal friend. And I was like, oh, okay. So you want to completely sever this relationship out of nowhere. Got it. So what I'm doing right now is I'm reading a book called The Surrender Experiment. I've got the author, but I've got it on my Kindle right now and I'm reading it. And the entire premise of the book is to remove the concept of if you like or dislike something and simply attack life and operate life for how it is and how it's positioning itself to you. A perfect example, ironically, that I would use of the surrender experiment would be Forrest Gump. So the dude just like flowed through life and had all this amazing cool stuff happen to him that he was just like, okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. And that's what happened. So right now, that's what I'm doing. I'm not actively searching or looking for another source to replace that 5 or 6. Right now, what I'm doing is I'm going to keep doing me. I'm going to keep putting out value, 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 asking, waking up every morning and asking, how can I provide the most amount of value to the most amount of people today? And then the right situation, partnership, relationship will materialize. So I do want to caveat this with saying you can't just sit on your couch and wish for all of your dreams to come true. I take massive action first with a vision-led direction, which then allows the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, to be like, yeah, okay, we'll throw something over this way. So that's my experience. Hopefully you've had the same experiences, dude, because listening to your story, you kind of have, where you're like, whoa, where did this guy come from? Now all of a sudden he's my mentor, right?
Yeah, it's been wild, man. Like, first off, thank you for breaking that down and sharing that with all of us. I think that was hugely impactful for us to just kind of get to know your story on a deeper level. But yeah, I mean, my story was funny, man. I mean, like in just 2017, I remember attending my first ever real estate conference and I was wholesaling, but failing. I mean, I had closed one deal. I was working on
a second. Whole failing.
Yeah, whole failing. So, and I remember going to this Pacific Northwest. It was Tarl Yarber's PNWU badass real estate event or something like that. And like seeing Brandon Turner for the first time, and I'd already been listening to the Bigger Pockets podcast and seeing all these people. And I actually went up to Brandon and I was like, hey, I'm going to be on your show by next year. Absolutely no idea of how I was going to do it. Did I hit it in a year? Nope. Took me three. But that's okay. Right. Like I just kept going, but it's just so weird to transition from the scared little kid who knew nothing, sitting in that event, being mesmerized by all these people to 3-4 years down the line, and like they're my friends. Like I still don't see myself as an equal, but they look at me and treat me as if I'm equal to them,
dude. But here's a kicker though. Like, here's something that I've realized works. It works for me at least. I don't know if it will work for other people. I think it will. So for me, have you noticed this, to where you've got somebody that's super successful and somebody that's kind of successful, like there's just such a disconnect between them, right? Like mm-hmm. at a mastermind event, like you'll see the guy that's like the guy at the event, and then you'll have all the other ones who are like, hey, what do you do? Oh, I'd love to take you for coffee sometime. There's such an imbalance there, right? So my hypothesis is it's all energy. So it's like Ryan Serhant, big money energy. So you've got this guy over here that's just vibrating at a different frequency than the other guy. So there's like no way that they could actually really like be friends because they're on completely different like vibrational levels here. So like my thing is, I don't know if I'm right or wrong on this. It just simply is what I do and it works for me. I view myself as an 8-figure guy already, an 8-figure entrepreneur. Because every single day I wake up and I say, okay, like that's a certainty. Like that's going to happen. The only thing that's in between me and that guy is just time horizon and just experience. Yep. So yeah. I'm like, every day I wake up, I say, what does that guy do? What would that guy say? What would he wear? How would he operate his day? What would like the $50 million version of Brian Lubin do? And I just be that guy, like in the moment. And I have that energy in the moment. So I can talk to a freaking billionaire on the podcast and I just feel like I'm talking to a guy. And like, for me, I don't know, it's worked somehow. And I keep getting invited to all these things. I don't get it. Like, I guess it works.
I love that, man. You gave me goosebumps and there's so much truth to that. I mean, it's not, and I don't want the listeners to mistake
your belief. It till you make it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want the listeners to mistake your belief for like arrogance or cockiness. It's not what it is. I as well, like, I agree with you. Like, I feel like I'm actually destined and I'm pulled to become this ultra successful version of even who I am now. Right. Like, I think I owe it. My thing is I'm motivated more extrinsic, or I don't even know how to use that word. I'm not gonna try to use a big fancy word. I'm more motivated by the impact I can have on the people around me. And I think I have the highest impact. I have to become the highest, best performing version of myself. Which, in my opinion, is a 30, 40, 50, $60 million net worth person.
Yeah.
That's the type of person, like, I'm already that person, just like you're saying. That's already me, even though I haven't hit those metrics or numbers or things yet. I have to embody that already now.
No, and then what happens? Have you noticed what happens in your business when you do that? Like, all of a sudden, things just start popping up out of nowhere. You start getting felt, you have freaking Brandon Turner. They're like, oh, we're at the CRE circle together. You know what I mean? You just attract things, and you can't attract things unless you're vibrating at that frequency. And it's important what you just said about the cockiness and confidence. The only difference between confidence and cockiness is noise. That's it.
I love that.
So the cocky guy is actually the most insecure guy in the room, right? Because he's preoccupied, or she is preoccupied, with how do I make myself look so big and so good to all these other people that they accept me and love me, when the reality is it's completely opposite is true. The quickest and easiest way to get accepted and loved by the masses is to not be the most interesting person in the room. It's to be the most interested person in the room. So then you just go into every room. You want to be the most popular person in the room. You just go in and you just ask everyone questions about them, and everyone freaking loves you. Like, that guy rocks.
It's so simple, right? And so, if I don't know, have you ever read How to Win Friends and Influence People?
Of course I have. Dale Carnegie.
That's the book that started the whole journey for me.
Yeah.
And I accredit so much of what I've been able to do to that, but it's also genuine, right? Like, I am genuinely so interested in other people's stories.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm naturally like a puzzle maker. Like, I hear a little bit about your story, and then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, I hear a little bit about someone else's story, and I want to connect the parts.
Pin
and
together.
I want to add value to you too.
Yeah, dude, that's how we got introduced, because of Massey. Like, So like, I met Massey at GoBundance, and then he was like, yo, he's like, you got to meet this dude, Noah. Like, and so it just happens. It just flows. And the opposite is also true. If you're a super pessimistic person and you're super low energy, this is all something that's controllable, right? So we always attract what we think about. And if your mind is constantly working on, you know, what could go wrong, you know, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve to be in this room, you're never going to get the phone call from that opportunity or from that person. And like, even if you don't believe anything that I'm saying right now, and you think it's all a bunch of crock of shit, and even if there's a 1% chance that it's true, if I told you you have a 1% chance of getting $1 billion, you would take that bet every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you need to do it. And at the end of the day, what I do is I just shut up and listen. When enough people tell me something over and over again, I just shut up and listen, that are successful and that are further along than I am. And every single successful person that I've talked to, and I talk to 4 or 5 7 to 9 figure entrepreneurs every single week, just for my show, let alone personally. And every one of them has the same core concepts of you need coaches, you need mentors on your journey. Those are a necessity. You need masterminds. That's a necessity. And you need the energy and the vision. So yeah. That's like the one, those core beliefs that every single one of them has.
Dude, so this is so funny. So one of my goals over the next 3 years, so the next 36 months, in the next 36 months, I'll hit this milestone, which is 30. And I've put a lot of pressure on that birthday that's 3 years out, because there's so much I want to do in that time frame. And I probably need to chill out on the pressure I'm putting on myself there. But I did write down my job description of all the impactful things I think I do inside of my company, because by the time I'm 30, I want all of my companies to run without me and me to act more like a board member. So that being said, I need to start identifying what it is that I do in my companies, because I don't care how successful you are, whatever it is you're doing can actually be delegated to someone else. There are very, 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 I would say less than a 1% of the amount of things that you cannot outsource to somebody else once you get to a certain level. So anyways, I had just written down, I emailed it to myself. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick, but I'm just going to go over it. You had said 2 or 3 of them. So one of the things I wrote down as part of my job description, and part of one of the most impactful things I can do, is attend masterminds. That is literally one of the most impactful things I can do.
Join GoBundance, dog.
Yeah, I know. I need to join GoBundance now. So
there you go.
The second thing was the podcast. My podcast is one of the most impactful things I can do. This conversation puts me on a whole different frequency. And this lasts. And this is then I bring this energy to all my other conversations, to my team meetings, to my employees. Everybody is now affected by this thermostat that's now turned up because of guys like you.
Dude, and it's so crazy, because I'm not even ever the most financially sound guy in the room ever. I'd stop trying to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. Eventually I'll become that guy by default, and I won't even realize it, because I know that I'm going to blink one day and all of a sudden I'll be worth 20, 30, 40 million. And I'll be like, oh, cool. How did that happen? a Brandon Turner, same thing. It's just la, 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 oops, you know? but what I can do is I talk to these dudes that are 46 years old and they're making $1 million passive. And they look at, and then I talk to them on the podcast and we have a great episode, and I use I asked them all these cool questions about how they set up their finances for all of this and how people can do the same thing. And then we finished the talk, and then he goes to me, he's like, dude, you know, I'm 40 years old. I'm worth $27 million. I make $1 million passively every single year. He's like, without me lifting a finger, my business, my real estate team make me $1 million a year in my bank account. And he's like, and I still don't have the levels of freedom or energy that you do right now as you are. He's like, I couldn't just up and leave and go get on a one-way flight. He's like, I've got businesses that rely on me. He goes, and it's passive income, sure. He's like, I don't have to be there, but if I really removed myself, would it still be there? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, every single person, the moral stories, every single person has a zone of genius and something to offer always. You don't have to be like, to get into these rooms full of these guys, like you don't have to go in there and be the big swinging dick. That's honestly how you're going to be probably the worst received person in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just be curious, be humble, be confident. Like, and then that's where people just be likable person.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. To add to that too, I would say like have a genuine interest in seeing other people succeed. Like you should be motivated by other people winning, not like envious or jealous or anything like that. Like I'm very much motivated by other people winning. I love to see that. I get probably more joy than me winning myself. Like, I don't know. I would say that's not natural. Like I started in a place where like I was very jealous of other people that were winning at a high level and very much, oh, it's always something external. But along my journey, tying it back to what we were very first starting about, I became a different person. I became the person that I needed to become successful. Is you got to be that person that is worthy of that journey. So yeah, that changes, you know?
Yeah, man. And I'll say like, there's not really an ounce of me that really doubts myself anymore. And that's not like when I was doing the whole financial thing by myself, there's a bunch of self-doubt. But now I've just got so many relationships and so many really deep, authentic friendships that it's really impossible for me to fail unless I pick up heroin next week. Like that.
I'm going to Greece, man.
I'd probably, is Greece big for heroin? Like Greek heroin? Like Brian was killing it until he got on Greek heroin, and then it was just downhill from there.
Yeah.
On ESPN's 30 for 30.
I'm gonna check on you your first couple weeks there, just make sure everything's going okay.
But. Bro, I'm gonna be in a feta cheese coma. Chill.
All right, bro. Well, hey, dude, this was such a fun episode. We're gonna wrap it up. I like to end it with a series of questions. So one of my first ones, and your story alone kind of explained the answer to this question, but we'll go with it anyways, is Brian, what's your idea of chasing freedom? What does that look like to you?
Chasing freedom. I don't know if I would want to chase freedom, or it's kind of the same question as like pursue happiness, right? So you don't want to pursue happiness, because if you're pursuing something and you're chasing something, then it's running away from you. Because what happens when you chase something? It runs away.
Hey, so don't the name of the show for all the listeners.
So, oh, now we kind of cancel the show. Chill out, cancel the show. Hey. So I'll say, okay, I'll answer it. So chasing freedom for me is having that vivid vision and every single day pursuing step by step how to make that vision a reality. That's what chasing freedom is. And okay. For me, that's traveling the world. For others, it may be being able to be home on a Thursday with your kid to go to their cheerleading game or cheerleading practice or whatever. Yeah. It's something, just whatever it is for you.
I love that, man. Okay, cool. Last two questions, and you can answer them however you want, but give us a book and a podcast that's going to help the listeners on this show grow so they can have the same success we have.
I don't know any podcasts, dude. I've got shameless plug because it's my number one passion in life. The Action Academy podcast.
Good show.
I do 5 episodes a week now because I don't want anybody to say, oh, he could have done more, you know, because my goal is to get 1 million downloads this year. And I was already doing 2 episodes and I was like, how much more work would it really be to do 3 episodes? So I tried 3 episodes and I was like, well, I'm already doing 3. Like if I did 5 episodes, I could really go to bed at night and be like, there's nothing more I could have done. So Action Academy. For book, I would say Vivid Vision by Cam Harold or The Gap in the Gain by Ben Hardy.
I love it, bro. Well, dude, you added so much value to us today. We really appreciate you showing up for the show and bringing the energy that you brought, man. That meant a lot to me. I'm grateful for our friendship, and I'm excited to hear about your journeys all across Europe and stay connected with you. And for the guests that want to reach out, that want to get plugged into your circles and hear more from you and learn more about your stories and your podcast, how can they reach you? We'll put some links in the show notes and stuff.
Yeah. So I'll say the best value for you guys, like I'm on Instagram at Action Academy Podcast and also at Brian Lubin. That's LUEBBEN. If you want to go like see where I am, because I'm going to be posting a lot of content there on TikTok. But I'd say the most value would be W2toWorldTravel.com. Go there, grab your free 30-page guide. That'll also put you on the newsletter list. I send a newsletter out once a week, every Thursday. That's going to give you the top tips and takeaways from all of my 5 episodes for that week, and it's going to be in 5 minutes. So be a 5-minute read. Got a couple thousand people on that newsletter right now. So join the party. We're having fun over here. So that's it.
Love it, bro. Thank you so much again for showing up, and we'll catch up with you here soon.
My man. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode, you guys. For more awesome real estate content, you can check out my Instagram. It's just Noah_Evans_real estate. It'll also be in the show notes. If you want to reach out to the guest, their contact information and websites and however else to get a hold of them will also be in the show notes. All of our podcast episodes get thrown up to YouTube. And for more awesome exclusive content, please go check out the website. We'll have that link in the show notes below as well. All right. Peace.